I've laid out a path in front of you by my word, says the Spirit of grace. And I set the example of the prototype in front of you who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed, destroying all the works of the devil in front of him. I've called you to a supernatural walk, says the Spirit of grace. Do not look there. Do not look here. Do not look around you to find another. For the path is set before you and is plain, says the Spirit of the Lord. Know this, that in the days ahead, I'll summon you and you'll come into places where you'll march right into the very pits of hell to harvest the lost, says the Spirit of grace. For I've not given you the spirit of fear, but of power and love and a sound mind. This comes about by spending time in my presence. He who is baptized in love has no fear, nor has no offense, says the Spirit of the Lord. For you'll walk in a place where no fear and no offense has any place inside of you, or any place to oppress you, says the Spirit of the Lord. Mahile olo. Ha. Eni adios soto. There's a sound in the earth. There's many sounds in the earth. And many things are being said. And many are impressed with this and impressed with that and many other things. But know this, that I've called you to a place that your internal strength comes about by knowing me in my word and knowing me in my presence. The character of Christ raising up on the inside of you, making you fearless to every giant that will present itself in these last days. You'll find that much of my army that calls themselves equipped will scatter and run when the enemy stands up, when the Goliaths stand up. Their true colors will be revealed. And the doctrine they followed will be revealed. And the ministers they followed will be revealed by their inability to deal with that which is coming. But yours is another path. Yours is the foundation that I gave the apostles. Yours is the foundation which my son walked in a place unabated, unfearful, and unscathed by the offenses that could come and thwart his ministry into another path. Put down roots. Put down roots. And those of you that have roots, endeavor to put your roots deeper, says the Spirit of grace. Move into a place with unfathomable love. Love my word. Cherish my word. Hold to every sayings of mine, says the Spirit of grace, and you'll find that I'll prove myself. I'll prove myself through my sayings, says the Spirit of the Lord, and you'll be glad in these last days, says the Spirit of grace. Do you love him? Isn't he wonderful? Hallelujah. He wants you going out of here today. Don't leave right now. But he wants you filled with his presence, filled with hope, filled with peace. It will work out. It doesn't matter if it looks like it's the end, it will work out. He has a plan past the end. Hallelujah. Your bodies will be healed. He has a plan for your marriage and for your finances. He has a plan for those of you that are fighting places of your flesh and want to go deeper into God. Mahalasote. What is it, Lord? Mahalasote. I've designed a place of answers for you. I have specific answers to the questions of your heart. For you're in this house today, some of you online, asking the wise. Know this, that on this path I'll answer those things. But even before that, I'll shore you up with a peace that passes all understanding. Worship me for a place that you do not yet understand, and I'll bring you to a place of understanding. Give unto me, what gold, that gold, which is the issues of your heart, the pureness of your heart.
Again, I've said this for the third time. Thank you all for being here, and thank you all for watching us, but not watching, but actually participating. And we oftentimes bring up Gary and Sue, but there are so many people all around the world that are with us in so many different states and different countries. And some are watching this a little bit later in the day because of the time zone differences. And we just appreciate everybody. Hallelujah. Glory. You're loved. You're loved. You're loved by Him, and you're loved by Candy and I, and we pray for you. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. It's a privilege of mine to serve you. It's a privilege to be a part of a group of men and women that love each other. Hallelujah. Gary was talking last week, and he was talking about the overall, I won't say it like he said it. I can't remember exact words verbatim, but the plans for 2025. And he said you'll have to get your specific marching orders or plans as your pastor reveals them by the Holy Spirit for 2025. And of course, much of that is the same as what we know. But the message title, and you know, I thought, to start with, would I even produce notes? And then there's some, but more so just titles and scripture than anything else. But 2025 battle plans for revival soldiers. Now, do you have that ready? Okay, you can do it later. I'll tell you when. There's a short we want to watch. 2025 battle plans for revival soldiers. The subtitle is, You're Already Dead. Could you say that with to somebody, maybe to yourself? I'm already dead. Look at somebody and tell them, You're already dead. Now that kind of sounds sadistic, especially for people that don't quite understand this. And this is the first thing that I'm going to talk to revivalists, okay? And I do that often. We want to invite everybody to come along with us. And there's no bigs and littles. You're all so precious to God. It's not like I'm big, you're little, I'm pastor, where there's different status quos. We're all just loved of God. We're all just a family. And what I like and love most about this end time harvest is that Joel's Army incorporates everybody. If you're born again, and then it adds to it a lot if you're spirit filled, because there's a power that comes with that. But everybody's going to be used by God. Everybody that wants to be. You'll get to lay hands on the sick. You'll get to minister. You'll get to, and some of you say, well, I don't know a lot of Word of God. Well, that's okay. Start reading. Start listening. We've got volumes and volumes of different subjects and series that you can listen to. Gary Carpenter that was here last week, he has the same. Jim Martin that's coming in a few weeks, he has the same. Homer's got a lot of different things that he's ministered and subjects that he's ministered. But mainly, just take this, the Word of God, and start. Maybe it's on your smart device, but start reading it on a daily basis. Growth starts there. Real spiritual growth starts there. But again, this morning I'm speaking to revivalists primarily. And when I say revivalist, define that, Pastor. Well, revivalist is somebody that's hardcore about walking into the power of God and receiving a revival receiving from heaven, and I believe that we are already in the beginning stages of that. A revival, a renewal, a restoration of the kingdom of God. Now, we've explained this many, many different times. We're not recreating the will. We're not saying, Lord, do something. All of this has already been done in that the power that came after Pentecost was rampant in the earth. It brought about the harvest of souls, which is greatest. It brought about thousands and thousands being born again. But it was displayed also with signs and wonders and healings and miracles. And they didn't just happen occasionally. They happened on a continual basis. And by the way, I know that you know this, but signs and wonders and gifts and healings and miracles did not pass away with the apostles. Hallelujah. They're here today. Look at your hands and say, these hands will perform great miracles in the days ahead. Hallelujah. So we're speaking to revivalists, those that want to go in. And those, listen, we're not preaching at you, we're inviting you. And we're inviting everyone to go into where, you know, to a place of seeking God in 2025, where God comes in miraculous ways and does things in your life that you never thought possible before. But we're also going back this morning and listing, here's the first battle plan. You're already dead. And you have to reckon yourself as being dead, and I'll explain that in just a moment. Hallelujah. Through the years, through 28 years of ministry, well, it's actually 30 years, because we've been full-time 28 years here, but we were also a couple of 3 years. It's been at least 30 years. Over 30 years that we've been in Immokalee, at least 30, because I know it was probably between 2 or 3 that we were down at that little house down the road. But full-time in this house, 28 years, in March. Okay. Well, no, August 15th, 1997 is when I moved over here. But, you know, I say full-time on this path, March of 1997 is when I met Pastor Dave Roberson. Okay, so that's kind of how I date that. In that time frame, we've had a lot of people, wonderful people, and everybody I speak of in my thought process this morning, I'm thinking of them in a good sense. We've had a lot of wonderful people come and go. And I've had a lot of people come and go in my ministry. I have often, and this is not a pity party, this is just, it is what it is. I have often been traded off or traded in. And in the sense of the word that people would, that first got involved coming out of maybe a lifestyle of sin or maybe another denomination or a place. And once they heard this and they read Dave's book and then they heard my messages or these messages, I mean, it was per se, like hanging on every word, writing everything down. And it might not have been per se, it may have been in reality. I've had a lot of people get close to me, live here, be friends, and then to their knowledge, they found something that they felt was a graduation. They felt that it took them beyond, and maybe they felt, and maybe this, I don't know, they felt that what they were receiving from my ministry was no longer enough. And they found a way, and maybe they thought doctrine that was beyond where we're at. I remember one person, this has been many, many years ago, 99% of you probably won't, and I hope not, even recognize. He said, Pastor, why do you even bring? Because the people I speak about don't watch anyway, and then I'm not demeaning anyway. I remember one guy that just hung on every word and was here for a number of years, and I remember before he left, and they got involved in another ministry, picked up his family, moved to another state. But I remember him telling me, I'm getting the same excitement from those people and that ministry that I got when I first came here. And I said, okay, you know, what do you do? Okay, it's like I'm moving on and I'm moving up. In the many years that I have had the opportunity, now I listen sometimes to different ministers, besides for Jim and Gary and Alan and Homer, I'll listen. And a lot of them have some wonderful things. And a lot of them, I've learned some things. You can learn, because we don't have it all. But in 30 years, I've never, ever had anybody that even when they said, you got to listen to this guy. You got to listen. And sometimes what the gotta was really good. It really was. And it doesn't come from a determination like I'm going to be stubborn and I'm going to just hold to my guns and we've got it all. It's not that. It's, I've never found anything yet that I felt replaced the necessity or brought forth a necessity to replace the foundation that we're on. When Paul visited, years after his ministry, he was running and he said, I went privately lest I had run in vain. In other words, they would accept. Because when I went up and met James and Peter, and he talks about those who came in that meeting, and he stayed a couple of weeks. And he said, when I met James and Peter, and there were certain ones that came in, and now he's talking about them all. He's including James and Peter as well. He said, and he wasn't being sarcastic. He was just telling where he was in his walk. He said, and they were great guys. I'm gonna say this. He said, they were great guys, and I appreciated my time with them, but they added nothing to me. In other words, they added no foundation or nothing that was missing. Like, wow, I've missed it all these years. I've missed it all these years. And so I'm saying all that to say this. If you're one of those persons that, you know, sometimes people will just do a peep. You know, they no longer listen to us, but they oftentimes accuse us as like, you know, all you guys talk about or all pastor talks about is dying to the flesh. Well, that's not all we talk about. I mean, there are other things. Hallelujah. But if they were to just pop in on one of these, like this morning, what is he doing nowadays? And it pops in, 2025, the number one thing is you're already dead. And they're going, oh, my God, he's back. He never changes. Man, we teach on eschatology. That's a big fancy word for end time events. Gifts of the Spirit. Dying to the flesh. Righteousness. All the gifts of the Spirit. What they mean, how to walk in them. Hallelujah. We see visions. We prophesy. We dream dreams. And we see healings, but not to the measure that we're going to see them. Hallelujah. How many are still with me? Glory to God. Somebody can turn that off. I know it's not cold when my worship team all is in t-shirts. Hallelujah. Romans 6:11 says this, likewise reckon, everybody say reckon. Reckon yourselves also to the deeds to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. You don't have to turn there. Let me just read this. This is the first thing that we need to do in 2025 is to reckon. The word reckon means this, to come to a place of realization that you conclude. Now, I'm talking again to revivalists. How many want to help me and help Homer and help us and help the elders go in and receive this in 2025. Hallelujah. Not enough hands. How many want to help? Yes, hallelujah. So we have to, first of all, number one, we have to reckon. In other words, that's the way you think of yourself. And Paul said this. He said this, and this is an overall blanket statement. He said, likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed to sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Now, Romans 6, 7, and 8, there's no way. That's a whole world of teaching in itself. And all the positional truths and the actual things that happened to you the moment that you died in Christ, your baptism, there's a baptism that starts before water. Water does not save you. The spiritual baptism into Christ is what happened. Now you can get baptized with water or be baptized in water, and it'll be a testimony, and it has some spiritual significance because you followed Christ in that, and then you were a testimony. But it wasn't that that born you again, that birthed you again. It was your baptism into Christ. In other words, the moment that you were born into the family of God. But Paul says this also concerning that. That was overall. But here's more specifically. Here's a verse more specifically on our ongoing life. Our ongoing. That's a positional truth that you reckon yourself to be dead. Yes, I am dead. And I really am dead. My old man is dead. That old man is dead. But here is a ongoing life understanding is in Colossians. Go ahead and get that ready, would you? Colossians 3, 1 through 3 says this. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth at the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above, not on things of the earth. And Paul just says this blatantly. Ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. Now, again, let me explain, because some people are like, what do you mean dead? We're not talking about physical death. We're talking about, number one, the first scripture is all the appetites of sin. That died in you. That died. Well, Pastor, I didn't know. This is a joke. But I didn't know that adultery was wrong. Listen. If you're born again, even if you have no scripture in you at all, you just got born again. If you don't know that adultery is wrong, you're not born again. Because something on the inside is saying, I know that's wrong. If you say, gosh, I don't know if I should just say gosh. Or, my goodness, I didn't know that, stealing was wrong. My goodness, there's a witness on the inside. That's the death that took place to the old man. But then there's an ongoing death that takes place where Paul says this, you're dead. Walk in a place of knowing that you're dead. And that is a place where the revivalist is at, the person, the man or woman that I'm speaking to this morning and through the camera, that you're saying in yourself, I have no rights. I'm giving my body, Romans 12, 1 and 2, a living sacrifice for the purpose of this outpouring. Come on, can I get an amen? For the purpose of following Christ, there's a little short that, and I got to give Mike Church the credit for this one. I'll explain it afterwards, but I want you to watch it because it's one of my favorite shorts lately because I think it epitomizes what our position of living a life that we've traded for our own, for His. And I want you to watch this. We may be doing it the second time, but let's just play this for just a moment. It's just real short. Hallelujah. It's a short from Band of Brothers. Some of you may have recognized the series, but way back. But he's not talking about hope lost in life. We spiritualize this and go to this place of revivalist, As long as you, as a man or woman, as a revivalist, think that there's still hope for something that you can hold on to, some part of your flesh that he's asking to give up. If there's a dream in your life that stands between his dream, so he's got a dream. God's got a dream. It's called revival. It's called harvest. And if there's a dream in your life that stands between his dream and your, and his dream, your dream staying between his dream, then you've got to give up hope that you can salvage that. It can't be salvaged. It's got to die. You're listening or you don't agree. Candy and I could probably manage, and this is not to elevate us. Many of you are this dead, and maybe some of you are deader. It's probably not a word. We could probably manage selling out and having enough to buy 40 or 50 acres someplace in Tennessee or Georgia, and getting to watch, looking out off of some kind of back porch, watching those deer come down in the afternoon. Because, you know, I am 65 today. And my son-in-law, he said, "Dad, come on." We've pictured that at times. But you know where I'll die? As far as I know. And I don't have any qualms of even trying to wrestle with it. Because all of the painted pictures of someplace else or another life or this or that and the other, Candy and I buried a long time ago. And I'm not talking about that we're deader than you. But you've got to come to a place that every aspiration, every hope, every what, maybe if, would drive by those big places in the mountains at times years ago, and I'd say, "Look, what about that?" And Candy said, "Don't even think about it. It ain't never going to happen. It's not because we're broke. It's not because we couldn't figure it out. It's because we buried something. It's so dead. It has no life to argue with us. It has, and not only that, not just aspirations, but if there's something in you that argues with hope and says, maybe I can keep this, and God says, you can't keep that and go into this. That part of your flesh won't go into this. So Blythe, you've got to lose all hope." And it makes you invincible. It really does make you invincible. If you sell out and lose all hope, it makes you a soldier that's not afraid. Because afraid soldiers are soldiers that are protecting something. They're protecting some part of their flesh and say, "I want to bring, can I bring this in, God?" And God says, "No, you can't bring that in. You can't bring that in. That has to die." Hallelujah. You'll get hurt trying to bring it in. I wasn't a superstar football player. I played a couple years. But one thing I found out is this. The guys that get really hurt are the guys that won't go ahead and commit to the hit. They're scared to get hit. And they put half a heart in it. And I found out you don't get hurt if you'll just go ahead and give it all. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. This is a familiar scripture. This is actually, it spells out what we just watched. You don't have to turn there. Let me just read it. I call it the sentence of death. Of course, that's what Paul says of it. And this is in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 8 through 10. Paul said this of himself in the company of men that were with him. He said, "For we would not, brethren, have you ignorant of our trouble, which came to us in Asia, that we were pressed out of measure above strength, inasmuch as that we despaired even of life. But we had the sentence of death," the sentence of death, "that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God, which raiseth the dead, who delivered us from so great a death, and doth deliver us, in whom we trust that he will yet deliver us." He said this, "We had the sentence of death in ourselves." Now, first time I heard this, I heard Gary talk about it, but we've talked about it since. If you watch Band of Brothers, if you watch We Were Soldiers, any of those war movies, you find out that there is a critical mass. There's a point in time where there seems to be no retreat. They have scenes like they're surrounded by, you know, thousands against hundreds. And it's like the only back door, there's one back door, and it has a 5-minute time frame. If we don't get out now, we're dead. And you can watch these movies and these stories, and some of them are very true, very true. And it was like as if the commander-in-chief or the captain of whoever in one of these forward fronts found himself in one of those compromised, it was life or death, called back to headquarters and said, "We're here, we're surrounded, we only have 15 more minutes before we're going to be overtaken. Do we have the permission? Can we get permission from you to fall back?" And headquarters radios in and says, "Stay. Stay. Do not fall back. Continue to fight." And with that, you either go AWOL and rebel, which for a revivalist or for a real soldier is not even, you don't even think about it. Then you accept this. You accept the sentence of death. And you say, "Okay, I'm dead. I'm dead. So I die right now. I die before they shoot me. I die. I'm dead. No need for me to cry, you know, to worry about this, it's over." But then if you realize you're a dead man walking, you fight like a crazy person. And when the dust clears, you realize, "I'm still alive. How did I do that?" And Paul said, we received the sentence of death. We were so despaired of life. And did the Lord say, "I'm going to deliver you, Paul"? The Holy Spirit spoke. He said, "We receive this. This is what we got. You're dead, Paul." And this is what this short said. This guy was like, the only survival for a good soldier, the only way for a good soldier to make it is, "I'm already dead. I realize that." But there's compliments to that. There's wonderful things. What is already dead? Already dead is not. Already dead is not having no dreams. You can have dreams. You can have visions of, but does it fit his? Does what I'm dreaming calculate into you? And if what the way I'm living, does it calculate into you? It's not having no dreams or visions. It's not having any motivation or prosperity. He accentuates all that. But all that must be tried by fire, and we stand here in the first place in going forward in 2025 is to reiterate once again, we are a band of soldiers, and mission, that's one word, motto, our motto is this: we're dead. We're dead. Hey, comment. Hey, my brother or sister soldier. We're dead. And if we're dead, there's no offense. No offenses that will separate us. None of us want the glory. We just want Jesus. I'll tell you some other benefits to already dead. Already dead is, one, it's humbling yourself to the plan of God. It's humbling yourself to the four pillars. I hope that I got it across. If anybody listening or anybody out there thought anything different, when I say that, when I hear other ministers, I get sometimes a lot of stuff. And if some of them may be really ahead of me in miracles and different things. But nobody, listen, as it is right now, and I'm not downplaying anybody's ministry, nobody on the planet, and I'm not being sarcastic, but if I'm wrong, please, come see me privately after the service and say, I can tell you where this is happening, and you may weren't aware of it, or write me or call me or something. But as far as I know, even if there's somebody, a minister, getting more done as far as in miracles, as far as I know right now, the difference between them and what they're doing and the seven meetings, miracle meetings that Jesus had in Matthew chapter 7. Remember Gary talked about all those? Where they all got healed. All the time. First time. Every time. Whoever is in front of me, we're still together. They're not ahead of me, and I'm not ahead of them, because the difference between that, where we're all at, and first time, every time, and the works that the apostles were doing when Peter's shadow was walking, when he would walk, and they brought them all in, that's what we're after. That's our vision. So no matter what I ever hear, and this is what I was wanting to say, I'm not being mean, I never, not in 30 years, have I ever come away thinking, wow, they got something I don't have, as in foundation. It's never dawned on me. Well, Pastor, you must not have a lightning quick. No, there's something, these four pillars, if we do them, if we pray, and pray in tongues, and meditate the word, meditate his word, speak his word. If we worship, intimacy, spending time in intimacy and in fellowship. And folks, revivalists, now some people will say, I love you. We're going to be a part of this church forever, but I'm not. But listen, a revivalist, you can pray a million hours in tongues and we'll still never have revival without the pillar of fasting. We've got to fast. We've got to fast. Revelation knowledge won't be enough. Praying in tongues won't be enough. How do you know that? Because Jesus said, when I leave the planet, my disciples will fast. And this is not a fasting message, but it is necessary for us to do this. Hallelujah. Already dead. We're gonna go out here real good this morning. Already dead provides this. Here's what already dead does provide. It provides a self-supplying, it's an inertia, a self-supplying sense of confidence. Not self-confidence, but a God confidence that I'm on the right path. Already dead supplies It supplies this, no need of proof. It supplies no need of affirmation. I don't need proof. The word is the proof. And I'm sold. I'm sold if I'm 120 and the it's going to come. It's here now. We're sloshing around in the waters of it right now. Sloshing. What is sloshing means? We're kind of like ankle deep. And oh man, God, the presence, the power. But you know what? This is a self-affirming. It's like this. We don't have to have proof. Like, oh, Pastor, you talk about the signs and wonders all the time, and you guys are great, but where is it? But I can tell you this. We know what we believe. We do know what we believe. And we do understand the four pillars. And we do understand this doctrine. The first thing that already dead is it presents us in a place where it destroys the arguments of where is it? Where is it? Where is it in my body? Where is it in the church? Where is it in the leadership? It's a self-induced, on the path of surrendering all. There's an inoculation that comes inside of you. There's a spiritual brainwashing. And rifle butts can't beat it out of you. And arguments can't beat it out of you. I stay away from arguments. If somebody believes something, then they believe it. If they want to debate it, that's okay. Fine. I really don't have time for the debate. Well, then you must be a little bit intimidated by it. You don't know the word of God. I know the word. But I can tell you this. I'm wanting to see kids get out of wheelchairs. I want to have, when I pray, I want to see something happen first time, every time. And one of the things that this does for you, it actually dulls you don't care. I mean, in a good sense, you don't care who says, well, is that working for you? Bless you. How's it going? Can you give me proof on that? I don't have time to give you proof. I'm going into the proof. And I'm coming out, and when I come out, the world's going to be different. Hallelujah. Do you love Jesus? Amen. Let's all stand together. Hallelujah. This hasn't been a service of praying for the sick or anybody, you know, needing the baptism of the Holy Spirit. But as with Harry, could you please? We're going to let you go. Some of you have got an important appointment this afternoon, and I understand that. Some good things going on. But if you need prayer for your body, anybody, or, and I know this is more of a blatant appeal because we haven't led up to it, but if you're not filled with the Holy Spirit, and you say, I believe that exists, but I've never done that. Well, you can be born again and not filled with the Spirit. That doesn't mean that you have to have the Spirit as baptism to go to heaven. But it sure does some wonderful things in your life. He does some wonderful things. And if you would like to discuss that and have me pray for you, when I close in prayer, you can just come forward and we'll pray and see what the Lord does. And if you need a physical healing, you can come forward. So would you pray with me right now? Father, we love you. Jesus, to all your family that is seated here and standing here and watching through the camera lens, Lord, we thank you that this year is a year that we go further into the glory of God. The first thing that we do is we reckon ourselves to be dead. We reckon that there is no hope to hang on to anything that is of the flesh or have any aspirations of anything in our life that's contrary to your dreams and your visions. So, Lord, we commit ourselves to you. Would you pray this prayer with me? I promise I won't lead you into something weird. But if you'll say these things and mean them from your heart. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for a last day harvest. We believe that millions will be born again. We're believing for over 1 billion souls to come into the kingdom. Use me, Lord. I dedicate myself to you. I consecrate myself to you. Use my body, my soul, and my spirit as a vessel of honor in these last days. I love you, Jesus. I commit myself as your soldier, and I call myself dead, but so much alive in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. Lord, we bless them. May they have a wonderful day. Thank you for attending. Thank you for attending online. We love you so much. Blessings to all of you. If you have a need, come forward. Amen.